Well, what is going on, y'all? And thank you again so very much for joining us here today on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, in studio, I've got him peeled away from his TPS reports, Mr. Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios watching a little fly fishing on
That's
the TV.
Right. Got a little fly fishing going on in the background.
Cam has just discovered a new hobby. I've been warning him about this for years.
I got suckered in, man.
You're going to love it. It's going to consume your life. Just get ready to, if you follow him on social media,
get ready.
You're about to start seeing all kinds of fly fishing.
This is true. I've already got like two trips planned already, and I've owned my fly gear literally 5 days. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those. I go out in the evenings and I practice fly casting the whole deal. It's because that's the whole thing. Like, I know how to catch a fish. I don't know how to cast that silly lure.
Right.
But it is a good time.
It's an interesting process. It's a lot like traditional archery.
Yeah, it is.
There's ways of catching fish, but there's just something about it.
Yeah.
And that it's fun.
Fishing's and also expensive, too. People look out.
Yeah.
I'm not going down that route. I like the cheap end of fly fishing.
Yeah.
Or I go to a spinning reel. Just cheat it up that way.
Yeah, it's a cool hobby, though, and I'm glad you're...
It's going to be fun. I like it. It's just a little more... And I don't know what the lure is, right? I have no idea. I don't know why I'm just pulled to it a little bit more than normal, but I just, for some reason, I've been wanting to do it for a while, and I've been talking to Kyle about it for the last 5 years. I'm like, so finally, I'm like, you know what? We're doing it.
I think a lot of the allure is that's not the way people commonly fish around where we grew up.
Yeah,
so when
that's
you
true.
Watch it, it's got this nostalgic look, like you see these guys up in Montana on the Snake River wading in, or you see what's his name, the Spanish fellow,
Jose Wejbe.
Yeah,
Spanish
catching
fly
tarpon
back in the day.
Down in the Florida Keys, and you're like, it looks awesome because we don't do that.
Yeah,
you know. But anyways,
it was great.
I got a cool story here. Check this out. It says, "Hey guys." Absolutely love the show.
Hey, thanks.
I wanted to write you guys with a strange experience I recently had.
Uh-oh.
I just watched an episode of Monsters and Mysteries in America. It was the Night Stalker Skinwalker episode. When I saw the pictures of the girl that was being terrorized by the Night Stalker, it reminded me of a strange encounter my brother and I had a couple winters ago. We were out on Navajo Dam Road cutting wood. We had turned onto a dirt road on the northeast side. After cutting a few trees at the bottom of a canyon, we decided to go further up the hill to see if we could find more dead trees. I also had my dog and son with me. We made our way up the hill, and it flattened out. There were a few dead trees, so we decided to stop and cut those as it was getting dusk and starting to get colder. My son and his dog got out and were playing fetch while my brother Chris and I prepped the trees to cut. As we were about to finish up, my kiddo came running up the hill and said he found some really neat-looking tracks from an animal. So as I made my way down the hill and towards my truck with an armful of wood, I stopped to look at the tracks. They looked like claw marks in the sand and were in the same direction as we were climbing up just to cut. As I was looking at the tracks, I noticed I didn't hear my brother's chainsaw anymore. As soon as I realized the motor sound had stopped, I heard a scream. The sound of a shotgun being pumped, then a shot being fired. Before I could even react, Chris came running at a breakneck speed down the hill. He didn't even stop. He passed me and to the truck yelling, "Drop the wood, let's go." So imagine yourself in that situation. If we were out cutting wood and I
just come sprinting. First of all, if you came sprinting back, I know there's a problem to start with. Like, he's running. What is happening now?
There's probably a sandwich back there at the truck.
Right? He heard the crackling plastic of a Little Debbie snack cake. And here he comes. That'd be Kyle.
My dog was barking, growling, and backing up with the hair raised on its back and neck. I shuttled my kid and dog in one hand down the hill, and I threw the wood in the back seat. Now I have a huge F-250. With kiddo and dog, needless to say, we got the hell out of there. My brother refused to speak until we were on the main road, almost to Aztec. While he was cutting wood, he said he had the feeling of being watched. Thinking that I was playing a trick on him, he sat his running chainsaw down and went to catch me in the act before I could scare him. Not knowing I was further down the hill with my son, he climbed the rest of the hill and was looking around to find me. He saw us down by my truck and also saw a shadow opposite him by a sandstone cluster to his right. We always carry a gun with us when we cut. You never know what kind of creatures one may encounter while out there. He popped off a shot to get my attention and also took a shot at whatever it was he had seen. He told me it ran in between a rock ledge and some bushes. He didn't want to waste any time to try to take another shot at it. Before the second shot, the chainsaw stopped because it had run out of gas, which is how I was able to hear the gun being cocked and fired. It scared him so bad that he refuses to go back out in that area to collect wood. Always the skeptic, I thought he was bullshitting me, trying to scare me. But then I remembered the claw marks my kiddo had found and knowing that nothing scares my brother or my dog. He said the thing he saw was a good 7 foot tall, if not taller. It was hairy all over with the face of a wolf. He said he caught a slight glimpse before it slipped between the brush and the stones. I was kind of laughing at him in my head till I remembered those claw marks on the ground. When I saw the story tonight, I had seen those claw marks before, where we were cutting the firewood. Thank you for believing, otherwise I'd think I was losing my mind. It was a weird and unforgettable experience. Thanks for your time, Sean.
Yikes.
So they had a dog man encounter, yeah. Right?
A big wolf-headed creature.
Well, some people, you know, they claim that Bigfoot is ape-like. Other people say that Bigfoot is more dog-like.
I like to picture him fighting. Like a wolf, the big dog man and the big Bigfoot just squared off out there, going at it like a King Kong style fights. That's what I like to think. That's the last thing you want when you're cutting wood. It's the last thing you want, period.
Yeah.
To stumble upon a dog man. What if it was drawn by the sounds?
Of the cutting wood?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe just like curiosity. It knew people were there, right? It heard. It's like, you know what? I'm going to slip over there and scare the hell out of him.
Maybe it's the dog man's firewood. He didn't like you collecting
that
it.
That might be the dog man's tree. Maybe he urinated upon said tree, and now you're cutting down his marked area. And he come in there like, what's up, dude?
Yeah, maybe.
Why are you doing all
it's
that?
It's just as good a theory as any.
So Lon sent me this from a witness named D. And Lon actually spoke to this witness on the phone. And I want you to hear this. This is something... That's another thing that you don't want to see. Speaking of urination, this might happen when you spotted this. It says, I drove to a local convenience store near Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, in Monroe County to pick up something to eat. Now, let me go ahead and tell y'all, this took place on a Monday. This is where you want to start your Monday, on June 26th of 2023, so not that long ago. My dog was with me, and it was just before midnight. Everything seemed normal on the way there, but something strange happened during the drive home. As I approached a stop sign outside of town, my dog began growling. Now, he rarely growls, so when he does, I take notice. I looked around and I saw a deer walking toward the road from behind a large oak tree. The deer stepped onto the road about 50 foot in front of the car and began walking towards my headlights. As the deer came closer, I could see its face more clearly, and at first... I just literally shook my head in disbelief. Then I did a double take. The deer had a human face. There was no elongated muzzle, no large dark deer eyes. It looked like a person's face. Its eyes had visible white surrounding dark blue pupils. They were forward facing and they were looking directly at me. I froze. I don't even remember whether my dog was still growling at that point. I was genuinely frightened by what I was witnessing. The deer continued looking at me for almost a minute. It then turned and slowly walked to the other side of the road before disappearing into the woods. So I punched it and got the heck out of there. When I got home, I immediately went inside and poured myself a drink. I needed to understand what I had seen, so I went online and stayed up for most of the night searching for an explanation. I found several accounts involving what people call not deer, but nothing as dramatic as what I witnessed. I'm beginning to wonder whether I saw the result of some kind of experiment that went wrong. I found the contact email and during my research, and I was hoping that someone could give me an answer to what I saw. So again, D reached out to Lon. Of course, Lon forwarded over to me. We were talking. So yeah, I mean, this guy witnessed, D witnessed something. That had a human face on a deer. I love how they point out the color of the eyes.
Yeah.
And it's forward facing.
Creepy.
Yeah, dude.
I think it's a demonic spirit or a skinwalker or something like that. It's just creepy.
It's some way it is getting something out of it, its interaction with you. And it's got to be some sort of emotional drain. That's the only reason they would do it. Because otherwise, like, if you were a skinwalker, right? Let's say, Kyle, you're a skinwalker. You're traveling. You're in deer form. You don't want to be seen.
Right.
You don't. 100%. You want to just blend in, right? First of all, depending on where you're at, it's probably not safe to be out around a vehicle at night anyway as a deer. You might get shot, right? I'm going to just go ahead and start off with that. So that would be terrible. You just live in your skinwalker life and you get shot by some redneck out somewhere that's not hunting under a thermal. That would be pretty terrible. So you'd want to stay away from the roads. These things just bumble up on folks and then interject themselves into their lives. So it just leads me to feel like it's always on purpose. They're not trying to sneak around. That's purposefully done.
Yeah, and it's like we always talk about in the show, like, whether the person really saw that or they thought that they saw that,
the effect's the same.
They're affected for the rest of their life. That guy, that guy or girl will never forget that.
Never.
You're like, dude, I was in the woods one time and I saw a deer with a human
with
face.
With a human, a Jimmickin.
That's got to haunt your dreams. Yeah.
Most of the time, the deer I see are laughing because I'm like shooting over them, right? Or they're just like, I smell you, stupid, and then they just move on.
Yeah, yeah.
They laugh like this. And then that's how they laugh. They tell me I stink.
I got another one for you.
Yeah.
It says, I'm 34 years old. I served in the Army from 2007 to 2012. I'm just a normal guy with a family and a house. I'm in no way odd or weird or anything like that.
Or weird people would say that.
I'm sure if you ask my wife, she'd say differently, but that's a different story. So I was listening to your show the other night, and I distinctly remember when I was around 7. There were 2 kids who came to my house and tried to make my mom let them in. These kids were no older than I was, and they didn't seem right. It's exactly as you described. Odd clothes, flat voice. I didn't know them because I knew every kid on the next 3 blocks from my house, to the left and to the right. I remember trying to see them, but my mom kept pushing me aside, saying, "You need to go to your room now." So I listened. I ran to my room with my brother, and from the room, I could see the front door from around the corner, and they were gone. I remember hearing my mom and dad arguing about letting them in and to call the police. My dad did not want them in the house, and my mom was saying he was crazy and that they were just kids. That's when my dad yelled about their eyes. When my dad yelled about the eyes, my mom said, "No, they didn't have black eyes." Now, my dad is not a man that should be messed with. I'm just saying that he's a monster of a man. Even now, over 60 years old, you wouldn't want to mess with him. So to scare him, that just doesn't happen. Well, that's when I hear a loud slam against my window and then another 3 or 4 knocks. I go back to the window, about to open up the blinds to see what it was, and my dad runs in and shouts and says, "Don't let him in!" And picks both me and my brother up and puts us in the bathroom. I hear him shouting to leave and that he will defend his family and that he has weapons. About 5 minutes later, my dad comes into the bathroom and he makes us leave the house for some ice cream. Now, he never talks about this whenever I ask him. He gets quiet and always changes the subject. This story is real. I'm not making it up. Jeff.
There's corpses of black-eyed kids in your backyard. Dad wasn't having it.
So he has a big dad and he's... He sees his dad frightened. As a kid,
that's a big deal.
That freaks you out if you see a man that you're frightened of getting frightened. You're like, what is he seeing?
What is he afraid of? Because he's not afraid of anything. That's my dad.
And
right?
He's hiding us in the bathroom.
And then leaves like it's no big deal.
Yeah, like we need to go get some ice cream. We need to get out of here.
He knew what they were.
Those black-eyed kids, those are definitely
demons. Knew exactly what they were. Yeah, there's definitely some evilness
but
there.
But they're like vampires in the fact that they can't come in unless you invite them.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? They always are asking you to let them in. And if you don't, they just simply like leave you alone.
Yeah, they kind of get upset and then they just kind of bounce.
Can we use the phone? You know, you hear them doing that kind of stuff. Always dressed weird.
You always said you just heap kick one.
Oh, right, yeah. Like, this is Sparta.
You just kick them right off the front porch. Close the door.
Sanchai style. Wheel kick to the dome.
Take that. I got one here. Sent in by Gabriel. Gabriel tells this story of his father. It took place in the 70s. My father's encounter occurred in southeastern Poland. The summer of 1975, he was 11 years old. It was during summer vacation, so he and his friends had plenty of free time. One day, my father and his two friends decided to visit a place where wild strawberries grew in abundance. The location was just right outside their village on a small hill. At the top of the hill was a large ditch or depression. Now, I don't know its proper geological name, but it may have formed in the ground during some kind of collapse. The ditch was approximately 50 meters long with steep walls descending about 10 meters, and there was no water at the bottom. So the boys began gathering strawberries, but the activity quickly became boring, and they decided to turn it into a competition to see who could collect the most. So they separated and followed their own routes around the ditch. After a while, my father discovered an area filled with strawberries, and to him, it was like hitting the jackpot. He believed he could easily win the competition with all the fruit growing here. He became completely focused on picking the strawberries and stopped paying attention to his surroundings. Suddenly, something grabbed his foot and pulled sharply. Now, my father initially assumed that one of his friends had found that same patch and was just trying to drag him away. Laughing, he turned around to confront whoever was holding him.
Mm-hmm.
What he saw immediately paralyzed him. It was not one of his friends. A creature was protruding from a hole in the ground with its upper body visible above the opening. It had grabbed my father's shoe and was holding his foot. My father described the creature as human-like and naked, with pale, dirty skin. Its torso resembled that of a human, but its head did not. He called it a horseman, because its face was extremely long like a horse's. It had human-like eyes and a horse-like mouth filled with large teeth. The creature held his foot with both hands. Its human-looking eyes appeared full of rage, and it exposed its large teeth like an angry dog preparing to bite. It was attempting to pull my father into the hole.
Oh, my God.
My father was completely frozen with fear, and he couldn't speak or scream. As the creature dragged him closer to the opening, he began kicking it in the head with his free foot. And because it was holding him with both hands, it had released one hand to defend itself, and it attempted to grab the other kicking leg. That gave my father an opportunity to escape. He managed to pull his foot out of the shoe with the creature holding it. The struggle felt like an eternity to him, although it was probably lasted only a few seconds. But once free, he ran. His friends later said that they had not clearly seen the struggle. They only noticed that something was happening before my father fled. My father ran as quickly as he could and as far as he could. He passed his own house without stopping and continued onto the main road. A woman who was friends with his parents was returning home from a store when she saw him running in the road. At first, she became angry because she thought his behavior was dangerous and irresponsible. So she shouted at him, but she soon realized that something was wrong. She stepped into his path and grabbed him. My father's eyes were wild with fear. He didn't recognize her and struggled to free himself so he could continue running. The woman then noticed the bloody footprints he had left on the pavement. He had cut his bare foot while escaping without his shoe. Realizing that something serious had happened, she took him home, and it required several hours for him to calm down. He never told his parents what he'd encountered. My father's older brother later returned to the location to retrieve the missing shoe and strawberry basket. Both objects were found torn into small pieces. My father remained completely serious whenever he described what happened. He insisted that a creature had emerged from a hole in the ground. It had a pale, human-like body and a horse-like head and distinctly human eyes filled with anger. It was unlike anything he had recognized from folklore familiar to him. Years later, after my father told me the story, I was reading internet forums about alleged German experiments and secret weapons from World War II. These subjects are common sources of conspiracy theories in this part of Europe. And one such discussion concerned the alleged Übersoldat, supposedly a werewolf-like creature. Stories about unusual canine humanoids or werewolves appearing in Polish forests circulated after the war. I was skeptical, so I began reading the comments to see what others thought, and one comment immediately caught my attention. The commenter described an experience involving his uncle when the uncle was a child. According to the story, the boy had been playing along beneath a bridge when something emerged from a hole and grabbed his foot. It was described as a man with a horse-like face.
Mm.
I was shocked at how closely the story resembled my father's experience. I attempted to contact the commenter privately, but the person was no longer active and so never responded. The account reportedly came from the opposite side of Poland. Until then, I had believed my father's experience was unique. Neither of us had heard anyone describe a similar creature. So there you go.
What in the heck could that have been?
Some crazy, yeah.
If you would have asked me 20 minutes before we started this show if I'd like to go to Poland, I would have said yeah.
And now with the horse face, you're like, I'm going to have to hold off a minute. I want something with a horse face to grab me out of a hole.
Throw some pierogies down there.
Not all of them, because, man, I love those things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a horse face. What could you misidentify that for? You always go into misidentification. What pops up out of the ground in Poland that looks like a horse with human eyes and giant horse-like teeth and pale skin that grabs kids by the feet? I don't know. That exact thing?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really all it could be. Speaking of all it could be, this is all we got for you. We're going to take a quick one and come back. And I got some more really crazy creature sightings. Folks, y'all are listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And we are back.
Yeah.
I've got another one I got to hit you with. This is something that Mr. Filson is definitely going to enjoy. Took place in the summer of 2018 in Washington. Says, I was out on a walk with my dog one afternoon during the summer of 2018. This took place at the time now. I was living in Skykomish, Washington.
Sure.
And was curious about Sasquatch. So was, I guess, you know, was out like, yeah, that stuff's out there. Cool. Says, I turned and saw something watching us from behind an embankment. Now, at first, it looked like a tree stump. So I stopped and stared at it for a few seconds. It had an owl-like facial feature, but it was huge. Its head was sticking up from behind the embankment. It appeared to be the size of an old-growth tree stump. And I was only about 20 foot away. I could see that its eyes were nearly closed, as though it were squinting while observing me. It almost seemed sloth-like. It had patterns or markings that looked like a cross between lines in the tree bark and the markings of an owl. And I didn't feel any fear, so I just continued staring at it, and I said, what the hell is that? My dog didn't approach it, didn't even seem to notice it. After a moment, I looked down and stepped forward. Still didn't feel threatened. And when I looked up again, the entire figure was gone. I stood there for another minute, and that's when I became spooked and decided to go home. Now, I returned to that location every day and stood in the same area looking for whatever I might have seen. And on one occasion, I walked behind the embankment and attempted to estimate its height. The embankment appeared to be approximately 6 feet tall. But based on how far the figure's head had extended above it, I estimate that whatever I saw was between 7.5 and 8 feet tall. Now, there are many eerie calls in the area and a lot of reported Sasquatch activity. Now, I believe other undocumented creatures may be present in this area as well. So, I don't have my camera. I didn't have my camera with me on that particular day, but I would have loved to have gotten a photograph.
Right?
So, it sounds like when they describe it, this big sloth-like head, I instantly went to the hair. I'm not thinking about it being like an owl or a sloth. I go to the hair of the sloth because I think about it being a Bigfoot.
Right.
Right. And it's just, what better way? You've seen, are they, I can't remember all the different owls. Are they barred owls?
Yep.
Where they look like bark almost?
Yeah.
If that wouldn't be the most ultimate camouflage for like Bigfoot, with the way that hair and all that stuff is. So it sounds like you were literally 20 foot away. And again, they call it what? Tree peeking.
Yeah.
They also show where they crouch down, where they can hide behind stumps. Like they squat down out in the woods. They almost look like a stump because they're so big.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of fits.
When we go to the Raptor show at the Scarborough Fair, yeah. That guy holds it in front of the tree bark. You can't make it out.
Perfect. Yeah.
I'm still thinking about the horse-headed thing.
Yeah, coming up out of the ground, grabbing for feet.
When we took a break, I was thinking about it, and what were they doing? They were picking strawberries.
Picking berries, man.
There is a shocking amount of people going missing and stuff, odd things happening while berry picking. I mean, just pick up the David Politis books.
Yeah.
You'll see a lot of kids and adults likewise that go missing, and what are they doing? They're in boulder fields, or they're picking berries. They're
picking berries. Everything likes berries, man.
What's theirs? It's like, man, what are you doing stealing my berries?
So what this tells me is anytime you're out somewhere, you need to be two of you if you find the berries. One of you picks, the other one is on constant watch.
Yeah.
And then when you get tired of picking, you swap.
Yeah, that's a good move.
But that's it. You got to keep constant watch because they're going to come up out of the ground. They're going to come out of the rocks. You never know. They defend the berries.
It's theirs.
It's their berries. So you're going to have
to fight for them. You're just walking around the woods thinking you're just finding some naturally grown berries. You didn't realize that something hard. That's their
berry patch. You're in their garden.
Yeah.
That's the reason that human beings learned how to garden. So we wouldn't have to fight off these monsters for their berries.
Listen to this. I got a wild one for you. It says, I need you to understand something before I tell you my story.
I hate when these stories start out like this. Sounds like my wife talking to me, right? You need to understand how dumb you are first before we start having this conversation.
Right. I was 11 years old at the time, and this happened in 1968. And after all these years, I still think about it. I've replayed that night in my head more times than I can count. I've questioned my memory. I've tried to explain it away. I've even tried to forget it. None of it worked. Because there are some things you just can't unsee. Back then, I lived at 3621 Richmond Avenue in El Paso, Texas. Like a lot of the kids in the neighborhood, my days revolved around one thing, playing baseball. One summer evening, my older cousin, a handful of friends, and I headed over to the nearby baseball field about 4 or 5 blocks from my house. There weren't enough of us to split into two teams, so we made our own rules. One kid pitched, one kid played the field, one kid caught. Everyone else rotated through at bat. It wasn't organized, but we didn't care. We were kids, and we were just having fun. One detail about that field is important, though. Running alongside it were railroad tracks. At the time, they were just part of the scenery. Later, they'd become the only thing I can think about. By the time my turn came to pitch, the sun had already started to disappear. It wasn't completely dark yet, but daylight was fading fast. The field lights were on, casting that dim yellow glow that always seems to make everything look a little different. One of my friends stepped up to bat, and he hit a foul ball over the fence. The ball rolled towards the railroad tracks and finally came to a stop. And that's when we noticed him. There was a man standing near the ball. At least, we thought it was a man. My cousin jogged towards the fence and yelled at him, "Hey, mister, throw the ball back." Nothing. The man didn't respond at all. He didn't move. He didn't acknowledge us. He just stood there. I ran over and started yelling too. Still, nothing. Eventually, all of us gathered along the fence. At first, we were just annoyed. Then, because we were a bunch of 11-year-old boys, we started mouthing off. We started yelling at him. We started cursing him. We tried to do anything to get his attention. But here's the strange part. Not one of us wanted to get close to him. There was something about him that just felt wrong. I can't explain it any better than that. He wasn't threatening. He wasn't moving toward us. But every instinct we had told us to keep our distance. One of my friends finally picked up a rock and threw it. The rock landed near him, but it didn't hit him. Then another kid threw one, and then another. Pretty soon, several of us were throwing rocks towards the man we decided was probably just some bum hanging around the railroad tracks. And that's when everything changed. The figure slowly turned toward us, and then it dropped onto all fours. I can still see it. Even after all these years, I can still see it. What was standing near the railroad tracks wasn't a man, not anymore. What we saw in the dim light was something wolf-like. I remember the snarl. I remember the shape. And I remember my cousin screaming, "It's a werewolf!" And just like that, every single one of us turned and ran. There was no discussion, no hesitation, no trying to figure out what we'd seen. We ran. And when I say we ran, I mean we ran for our lives. As we raced through the neighborhood, kids started peeling away one by one as they reached their houses. Some made it home before the rest of us. My cousin and one of his friends ended up at my house, and neither of them wanted to leave. They ended up staying the night. When we told my parents what we'd seen, they reacted exactly the way you'd expect. They didn't believe us. My mother laughed it off. Then she said something I'll never forget. What you probably saw was the devil himself for staying out past dusk. Growing up in a Hispanic family, we always keep holy water in the house. That night, my parents blessed the house. Then they blessed my bedroom. And I can tell you this, none of us slept. Every creak, every gust of wind, every sound outside made us jump. The next morning, all of us got together again. In the daylight, courage is a funny thing. Things that seem terrifying at midnight somehow become manageable after the sun comes up. So we decided to go back. We wanted answers. We wanted proof. We wanted to know what we'd actually seen. When we got to the field, we found our baseball exactly where it had landed. But there were no tracks, no footprints, no evidence that anything had been there. Nothing. And that's where the story should have ended. But it didn't. Because every single one of us remembered what happened differently. All of the guys agreed. They were convinced that we'd seen a werewolf. I wasn't so sure. Even today, I'm still not sure. I don't know what it was. And honestly, maybe that's why this memory has stayed with me for nearly 60 years. Because if you see a bear, you call it a bear. If you see a dog, you call it a dog. But what do you call something that doesn't fit into any category you've ever known? Again, I was only 11 years old. Maybe our imaginations got the best of us. Maybe the fading light played tricks on our eyes. Or maybe a group of kids in El Paso, Texas saw something near those railroad tracks that none of us could explain. I still don't have an answer. I only have the memory. And after all these years, it's one I still can't forget.
What?
Shape-shifting human.
Mm-mm.
It was a man, and then it dropped down on all fours and became a dog.
Dude, I'd have been so out of there, too. Gone. Imagine being 11 years old and seeing that.
No.
And it always seems like it does happen to kids a lot because nobody's going to believe them.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just the worst of the worst, right? Speaking of worst of the worst, get a load of this. So Marty is 74 years old. Marty had this happen to him when he was a kid. So this is just listen to this story. I have never told anyone about this incident. Not even my wife of 50 years. I grew up on a small farm just outside Dover, Minnesota. In the spring, if my chores were finished and if I had my father's permission, I would dig up some worms, grab my fishing pole, and walk to Dover Creek. I fished for chubs and shiners, which my mother would cook for us. One spring day, after walking 4 or 5 miles, I reached my favorite fishing spot. I was alone and walking along the creek when I noticed something moving in the water ahead of me. I kept watching the area as I approached, and when I was fairly close, this thing, or creature, suddenly surfaced. This is not good. It had large eyes and many arms or tentacles. It looked directly at me. Without speaking aloud, it told me in my mind that it would contact me for the next few years. It wanted to learn what was happening in the world through me. I'm not much of an artist, but the best way I can describe it is that it resembled a humanoid octopus. Sounds like a mind flayer.
Right?
The creature told me that it wouldn't hurt me. It seemed peaceful and apparently wanted to study this world through the eyes and mind of a young human. As the years passed, these communications always seemed to happen when I was alone or secluded. The thought exchange was like replaying a newsreel for whatever was tapping into my subconscious. As a child, I watched every television and news broadcast I could. I would watch Walter Cronkite. I also watched old newsreels about World War II. That interest seemed to come from nowhere. In my mind, I believe the entity was studying our world. I also believe it was almost afraid of humanity because of our unbelievable violence towards one another.
That's a good point.
The communication abruptly stopped after I joined the military. It may still have contacted me during that period, but I had the overwhelming feeling that it didn't like the violence. It could not understand what I was doing during a war. It never tried to harm me, and I remember that it seemed peaceful and promised that it would not hurt me. For all I know, the communication may still be happening. Only now, I am unaware of it. I'm 74 years old, and I still sometimes feel a presence that I cannot explain. Every now and then, I feel as though it is still with me. I seem to space out and replay the news in my mind. I'm a peaceful person. I'm also a pastor. I don't believe this entity represents a threat to the human race. If it came from somewhere else, I believe others like it may never openly come here because we are such a violent society. So as a child, come in contact with what had to be an alien life form,
yeah,
an alien entity, somehow made a connection with him, and then it just, his whole life was like, it feels like it's learning through me. And then it's like, if it's still happening, I don't know. So it makes me wonder again. He lost it going in the military. He doesn't say when he went in, but it's safe to assume, let's say 18.
Right.
You're no longer a kid as you're getting to that age. Maybe that's the only time that it has to do this through a kid's mind, because their mind is the only one open enough to accept it.
Yeah,
like
maybe
we've talked about,
yeah,
with the Fae and the kids and how they see things or sense things and understand things that we really don't. It's like they're more attuned to it. Maybe that's the way this thing operated too.
It's the innocence.
It's kind of what it seems like. Yep. That's exactly what it seems like. So yeah, a mind flayer rose up out of a creek and talked to this kid.
You got the horse headed things coming out of the ground.
I've got them.
This one's pretty cool. My encounter took place many years ago. I never had the faintest explanation for it until a couple of months ago when I randomly stumbled across Dogman on the internet. I was in my early 20s. Working swing shifts at the time and commuting about 100 miles each way. So it was usually around 2 in the morning by the time I got home. I saw the monster, as I called it, on the northernmost section of Trunk Road in the Matanuska Valley. Sorry, I don't know how to say that. In the Matanuska Valley in Alaska. The area is almost smack in between the towns of Palmer and Wasilla. I was only about 10 miles from home at that point, so it must have been around 2 a.m. Trunk Road is a narrow, two-lane road, consisting of nothing but twists and turns. The surrounding terrain is somewhat swampy and thick with black spruce. It was late October, days before Halloween. There was no snow on the ground, but it was cold enough to be wary of ice. I was driving a 1982 Subaru SW, going about 20 miles an hour around a curve, when my headlights caught a predominant dark figure up ahead. I'm bad at judging distance. I'd say maybe 6 car lengths away. I instinctively let off the gas, coasting closer. At first, I assumed it was a moose, as the area is infested with them. But no, it was standing upright. Bear, then. No, wasn't a bear. It looked so strange. Tall enough to be uncommonly a large bear, but far too slender. And it looked like it had spikes running down its neck and back. A Halloween prop. It was an odd one, but a compelling place for me. All those things ran through my head in a fraction of a second. The car was still coasting closer, and I could see more details. It was standing in profile, gazing across the road. I could clearly see its wolfish muzzle. Large upright ears, the spikes on its back were in fact clumps of fur. Its spine curved in a smooth and very natural-looking way. It was standing in the ditch. inches from the pavement. Because I was focused on its upper body, I do not recall anything about its back legs or if it had a tail or not. I did see its front legs, though, very doggy looking, hanging awkwardly down and slightly towards its front, exactly as you would expect if a dog was standing upright. While it clearly had a canine look to it, there was something off. Something about it I just cannot articulate. It was perfectly still, and at this point, given the proximity to Halloween, I was pretty convinced that it was some Halloween prop because it was clearly not any kind of an existing animal. I was profoundly impressed and gently stepped on the brakes, intending to stop and examine it more closely. Then it turned its head toward me. In the tiny fraction of a second that it took for it to swivel its head, I knew that I had made a terrible mistake by stopping. The fluidness of its movements removed any doubt that this was some sort of prop. It was horribly, terrifyingly alive. The pale, off-white glow of its eye shine in the headlights destroyed any possibility of a human in a costume. I think I sat there gasping in shock for a few seconds. The car barely moving by now, but still inching closer. As I was almost upon it, I think I could have leaned forward and touched it if I had wanted to. I definitely did not. I had to look up to see its face again. I'm a bad judge of such things, but I am 5'4", and if it was a heck of a lot taller than me. Tall like a polar bear, like I'm guessing 7 feet? I can't really say. I snapped out of my trance and slammed on the gas. The car fishtailed, and I prepared myself for death by monster, as I was certain I'd end up in the ditch. But the tires caught the pavement, and I drove like a complete maniac all the way home, and I did not look back. I've only been on that section of road a few times since, never alone and never in the dark. For the next several years of driving that commute, I went 20-plus miles out of the way to avoid Trunk Road. The thing never made any aggressive moves, but there was just something about the way it felt. Very, I don't know, predatory. I've never seen anything remotely like it again, and I've never heard any stories about it in this area. I just wanted to share Melissa. Wow.
Yikes. I don't blame you. I'd gone out of the way, too.
Yeah, I'm not driving on that piece of road.
I'm not going back there again.
No, what if you... I mean, I get flats all the time because I'm driving around new construction.
Yeah, you don't need that to
happen. I get a flat and I have to change it, and that thing comes up out of the ditch.
Yeah, lovely. Now that's what you're going to be thinking about. If you ever get a flat in the dark, you're going to be like, here we go. This is where it ends, right?
I'm usually armed, though.
This is true. Yeah, this is very true.
I have like, nine. It'll hold nine. I have 8 for it, and the last one's for me if the first 8 didn't do right, the job,
if I
right?
can't get it away from me. Yeah, I'm not going out like that. Listen to this. This is a very unique story. And I mean, this is me saying this. Terry says this, that more than 60 years ago when I was young, I lived on a farm in southern Ohio that my grandmother owned. It was a very rural area with gravel roads, no indoor plumbing, and a well in the backyard and an old outhouse down the hill. We kept our chickens in that yard. Cornfields surrounded the property, and dairy cows grazed in a pasture across the gravel road. Sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds perfect. One morning, I was alone on the porch when the chickens and the roosters suddenly cleared the yard. Some ran underneath the house, while others disappeared into the cornfield about 20 foot away. They moved quickly and became completely silent. Something had frightened them. Those chickens were not timid. I'd seen them run after stray dogs, peck snakes to death in the yard, so their reaction immediately put me on alert. I remained on the porch watching for whatever had scared them. Then something resembling a stuffed Easter bunny came walking around the side of the house.
What?
It was blue with a white stomach, had pink inner ears, and what looked like button eyes. It appeared to be old or used. Its movements reminded me of an adult holding a stuffed animal from behind and moving it back and forth to make it appear as if it were walking. I couldn't see anyone or anything behind it. Now, the figure was probably 3 foot tall or slightly taller when measured from the tips of its ears. It had short, stubby feet and paws like a stuffed animal. It leaned slightly towards its left. I just stared at it, and it appeared to stare back at me. The rabbit began speaking, but its mouth didn't move. It wanted me to go with it so we could play and so I could help it do something.
Mm.
It sounded like an adult speaking for a toy while playing with a child. It repeatedly tried to persuade me to follow it around the side of the house. The rabbit itself didn't frighten me. Heck, I might have followed it if I hadn't seen how the chickens had reacted. Those birds had faced dogs and snakes, yet something connected to this figure had terrified them, so I stayed on the porch. The rabbit finally began backing away. It moved with a strange bouncing motion, as if someone were holding and manipulating it. It continued until it disappeared around the side of the house. So I leaned over the edge of the porch to see where it was going, and by then the rabbit had turned away from me, giving me a clear view of its back. And I froze. I could still see the stuffed rabbit-like image, but behind it was what looked like a small four-legged dinosaur. What? Its head or snout appeared to be inserted into the back of the rabbit. The creature was greenish, had spikes running along its back and down its tail. The dinosaur-like creature stood approximately 2.5 feet tall. I ran inside and told my grandmother. She went outside to look but never found it. My grandmother, who was born in 1889, warned me that if anything like that ever happened again, I should never go with it.
No kidding.
So what on earth is this dinosaur with a stuffed animal on its head and a human voice talking to this kid? So what I'm saying is, like, where does that even come from?
I have no words.
No.
I have read accounts of people seeing the Easter Bunny.
Oh, yeah. Now, we've gotten those. But this seemed to be a stuffed animal on the head of a monster. That's one smart monster.
Yeah, how would it even know to do? How does it know how to speak English?
How does
first
it
of
see?
All, it's not a, yeah.
Yeah, how does it see? How did it get its head in? It doesn't have hands. Like, how did it do all this stuff? I don't know. That's one of those stories that I love because it is so crazy and so one-off that you're like, there's only two explanations. It's 100% true or you're completely insane for saying it. That's yeah. It. There's no other way. That's the only
there's
two
no
ways
gray
it goes.
Area.
No, not with stories like that.
I don't even know what to say. I got another one.
That's what I like to hear. That's what I wanted to hear you say.
In October of 1972, my husband, our two babies, my brother and I left Leavenworth, Kansas in our 1968 Volkswagen van on a camping trip to a recreational area in Arkansas called Beaver Lake. When we finally got there, we found a fairly remote campsite at the far end of the park. We wanted to be alone as the babies woke often during the night and needed to be fed. We didn't want to disturb any of the other campers. Shortly after pulling into our campsite, my brother pitched his tent next to the van. The rest of us were going to sleep in the truck. The campsite was in an area with a horseshoe-shaped, rocky, terraced ledge that rose from around 50 feet to around 100 feet as it curved around behind the four campsites. Because of the mature trees and thick brush, daylight had trouble poking into our spot. Fast forward to that night. Sometime around 3:30 a.m., I heard some animal sounds on the ridge that I thought were being made by coyotes. The babies were asleep, and all was quiet otherwise. I peered out the window, but couldn't see what was making the sounds, because it was so dark. Still hearing odd yips and howls, I lay back down on the back seat. Moments later, there was a huge crashing bang on the van wall, right next to where my head was. My husband leapt up, out of a full sleep. My brother bolted out of his tent and jumped into the van with us. We were all in a panic, looking in every direction, trying to see what the heck had hit the van like that. My brother finally yelled that he saw something moving behind the truck. We all turned just in time to see a large shadow moving about 20 feet behind the van from left to right. After about 20 minutes had passed without any of us seeing any more movement out there, my husband and brother went out to inspect the van for damage. They found none. We then started hearing pounding steps coming from the brush and about 50 feet behind us. The guys eased back into the front seat of the van. That's when my husband turned on the headlights and stepped on the brake pedal for the rear light. Instantly, there was a huge commotion. He started the engine, and that's when, in the glow from the headlights, we could see a hairy thing 10 feet away and coming towards the van. As it got closer, its silver-tipped hairs glistened in the light. It had a grayish streak from its shoulders down its back to its buttocks. The creature was walking on two legs. It had to be 7 or 8 foot tall. It had a barreled chest, skinny legs. It never gave us a good view of its eyes, so I can't really tell you what they looked like. I could see that its face was not ape-like. It was more dog-like. Its ears had tufts of fur on top of them, and it was very human-like in its movements and general body structure. It moved smoothly and quickly around to the back of the van, where it followed the base of the ridge away from us. That's when it let out a menacing huff, a low rumbling growl like a dog. Insanely, my husband and brother bolted from the van trying to get a better look at the thing. That's when a shower of gravel came at us. My husband and brother tore back into the truck and we burned it up the road, getting us out of there. I kept looking out the back window and they looked in the rearview mirrors, but we never once saw the thing again. It didn't seem like a Sasquatch. I don't know what it was. It seemed too dog-like in its face, and its body was way too slim. I still have PTSD-like feelings due to that encounter. Pam.
Yeah, no joke.
Right, in 1972. You can tell it's an older lady because the name Pam. You don't really hear people call Pam.
Man, that... Why does it feel like it happens, right? It just feels like at that time, this deal, it just feels like, yeah, that happened.
1972.
Come up slapping on the van.
Some remote campsite in Arkansas.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Arkansas. If there's a spot, yeah, that's one of the spots.
We need to mark that down because now that you're into fly fishing, you're probably going to go fish the White River.
Yeah, I need to.
Don't go near Beaver Lake.
I've already been there.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, my wife and I went around that whole thing. It's awesome.
It is?
Yeah, it's an awesome spot.
Well, there's a lot of, we've talked about that before, too. There's a lot of spots in Arkansas, like Devil's Hollow and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what is that about?
Man, with all the caves and the hills and as rough as some of that stuff is, I mean, I could see something crazy living out around all there with no problems.
Mm.
No problems.
Wow, that's crazy.
I've got one here for you. It's a short one. This is just something I wanted to bring up because it is an old newspaper account from the Vidette Messenger, y'all, from Valparaiso, Indiana.
Okay, sounds good.
February 8th, 1929, took place in Galena, Indiana. Another hunt has been started here for the mysterious black beast that raided the A.A. Akins farm just east of here.
Larry Akins farm?
A.A., yeah. Oh. It's one of his grandparents, I'm sure.
Ari Lakin.
Right? Killed one pig and carried off in its arms another pig weighing 85 pounds, according to Leonard Akins, 20 years old, who surprised the animal and was forced to flee for his life. Posses of farmers, aided by dogs which tried to trail the black animal, failed to find and returned, still in doubt as to the identity of the creature. I can't imagine what it was unless it was a cross between a big bear and a hyena, young Akins said. The hunter found one set of tracks that resembled bear tracks. Akins related, but as no one in the party was an expert on bear, the question was left open. The critter walked on its hind legs, had pointed ears and ferocious teeth. I can say that much, Akins declared. The youth said he ran into the animal in a barn on the Akins farm. The beast was killing a 60-pound pig. The creature reared up on its hind legs and started towards me, Akins said. My Airedale dog, however, dashed ahead and barked at it, and it turned on the dog. Akins then started to run to his home to get his gun. In running, he glanced around, saw the animal seize another pig, which weighed at least 60 pounds, take it in its arms, go across the fence, and start for the woods. It was as big as a man and walked on its hind legs, the youth asserted. A canvas will be made of all circuses and zoos in southern Indiana to determine if any wild beast escaped.
Mm.
So we always talk about like old news reports and like,
yeah.
Throwing in with the circus. They want to know what it could possibly be. It was the Sasquatch that stole your swine.
Yeah, that's exactly
Speaking
what it
of
is.
Stealing swine. We've stolen some time, folks. Let's take a quick one. When we get back, we'll wrap this puppy up. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
With expanded perspectives.
Wow.
Check this story out. If you're a parent, you know there's a certain kind of exhaustion that comes with a long road trip.
Ooh.
Not the kind you get from a bad night's sleep. I'm talking about the kind that settles into your bones after days behind the wheel. 3 days. That's how long I'd been driving. I was moving from the West Coast to South Florida with my 6 kids, 3 dogs, and everything I owned packed into a trailer behind a large SUV. It was around 2 in the morning. Every one of my kids was asleep. Well, almost all of them. My 13-year-old daughter was sitting in the passenger seat, helping me stay awake. At some point, we'd finally crossed into Florida. I decided to cut through the state instead of staying on Interstate 10. I figured we'd probably save some time. That decision changed everything. We turned onto a smaller highway that cut through the area around the... Oh, man. Some kind of national forest. I don't know how to say that.
Oh, come on.
Apalachicola?
There you go.
I guess. The Apalachicola National Forest. As we were running low on gas...
I had one of those one time. It's like Jolt, only better.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. We were running low on fuel, so I planned to stop at the first gas station we found to get some petrol. Right. The problem was that the first gas station we came across was closed. I remember feeling my stomach tighten. I was responsible for 6 sleeping kids, 3 dogs, and a trailer full of everything we owned. And now, I was driving through the middle of nowhere in the middle of the night, hoping we had enough gas to reach the next town. I told my daughter to keep watching the road for deer. That wasn't paranoia. That was survival. We were towing a loaded trailer. If a deer jumped out in front of us and I hit it, we could lose control, roll the SUV, and put everyone inside at risk. So, I slowed down. I was driving about 45 miles per hour. The road was dark, and I mean really dark. We had the high beams on because the highway twisted through long stretches of forest. There was a few houses here and there, but not that many. Mostly, it was just us, me, my daughter, and the miles of empty road. Then we came around a curve, and I saw the blood. There was a lot of it. Fresh blood, bright red in the headlights, and standing beside it was something I still can't explain. At first, my brain couldn't process what I was seeing. There was a dead deer on the side of the road, and something was feeding on it. But it wasn't feeding the way an animal should. It was standing upright on 2 legs, 6 foot tall, hunched over the deer, using its arms and hands almost like a person would. And the strangest thing of all is it never looked up. My headlights were pointed directly at it. We were approaching in a large SUV, and I was towing a trailer. It still never even acknowledged us. It just kept feeding. I can still see it. The body was incredibly muscular. The ears were pointed. The muzzle was long. The upper body looked powerful. The lower body was leaner. And the way it used its hands, that's what I can't get out of my head. I've seen dogs. I've seen coyotes. I've seen wild animals feeding before. This wasn't that. I looked over at my daughter, and at exactly the same moment, we both said the same word. Werewolf. I felt tears immediately fill my eyes. Not because I was sad, because I was terrified. My foot pressed harder on the accelerator. And to be honest with you, I wasn't worried about myself. I wasn't even worried about the SUV. I wasn't worried about my dogs. They were in the trailer behind us. My mind was simply racing. What if it chases us? What if it jumps onto the trailer? What if it gets to the dogs? I kept driving faster. faster. My heart was pounding so hard I could feel it in my throat. Even after we've traveled another mile, my daughter and I were still in complete shock. Neither of us could believe what we just had seen. And here's what makes this story so difficult for me to explain. I don't believe in werewolves. I don't watch werewolf movies. I'm not fascinated by cryptids even. I wasn't out there looking for something strange. I was a tired mother trying to get 6 children, 3 dogs, and everything I owned across the country. That's it. And until now, I've only shared this story with a handful of people. Because I know, even when I try to begin explaining something to this to people, they just don't believe me. How do you describe a creature standing over a dead deer in the middle of the night, eating with hands that looked almost human? Was it exhaustion? Was it the darkness? Was it a trick of the headlights? I've asked myself those same questions for years. But my daughter was sitting right next to me, and she saw it too. We both reacted at exactly the same moment. We both said exactly the same word. And that's why I'll probably spend the rest of my life thinking about that stretch of highway, somewhere between Alabama and Florida, somewhere along that lonely road through the Florida panhandle. Something was standing over that dead deer at 2 o'clock in the morning. And after all this time, I still don't know what it was. I know only one thing. I'll never forget it. M. So another dogman sighting, feeding.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Had no interest in them.
Yeah, I don't like that.
The headlights,
that
the car, didn't pay it any attention.
Didn't even care.
It was just really hungry.
We've all been there.
Yeah, yeah.
We've all been that hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude, I don't, man. It's those.
You should have seen, I was eating a bowl of homemade crawfish at Toofy the other day.
On the side of the road?
Yeah.
With your bare hands?
And a light car came by and I didn't even stop.
Bare hands. Man, again, with the whole eating thing, it's like, if it doesn't want to be seen, why is it doing it where it can be?
Exactly, like right? A mountain lion will drag it off somewhere.
You're going to get away from the headlights. You're going to get, it's like, it's not like a normal wild animal. It's like it's doing it because it gets something from it.
It enjoys terrifying people. That's what
I think so. I think so.
That's why it feels demonic.
Hey, it's working. It's got me creeped up. It's working like a champ.
Well, if you have any cool stories like these,
you know what to do.
Send them on in expandedperspectives at yahoo.com. You can email the show. I mean, you can call the show 888-393-2783. If you want more Expanded Perspectives, don't forget about Patreon. Just go to Expanded Perspectives Elite. You'll find it there. You can give the gift of it. You'll get extra stuff there. It's pretty cool. It's a neat community.
Should we go ahead and tell them?
What's that?
We got the trip booked. It's done. It's scheduled. When we're going, we're going to be gone in a couple weeks, folks. And we're going to go down and hang out with our buddies on Ninjas or Butterflies, and we're going to tell some stories down there. So if you want to catch us on a YouTube video coming up, we'll let you know whenever we know for sure when it's going to be released. But I think it's going to be out in a few weeks.
Yeah, we're going to be doing some fishing and stuff like that.
Yeah, it'll be a good time.
And then we're going to be back in Tennessee to do another Ducks Unlimited Halloween episode.
Got another awesome one to do there.
Looking forward to that.
It's going to be so much fun. Yeah, so we get to go tell a bunch more stories here, bouncing around before the weather cools off and deer season starts. So we got to get fishing done.
Yeah. Yeah, school started. Luke started school today.
Was he ready?
No, he's not very happy about it.
Oh, I don't blame him.
I remember those days, though. When summer's over, you're like, man.
But here's the thing that I think about. Like, now, you would really not want to go back. When we were kids, we lived so far out. I mean, it's like we got to see each other, but you didn't get to see a lot of your friends. So you might go the whole summer and never see any of them until school started back. Whereas now, you got a phone. You can go online and talk to them, chat with them, see what they're up to. Like, I get it now, right?
I remember because school would get out, and then it felt like it was 6 months, then the rodeo happened, and you'd go just because you wanted to see
all your
friends.
That's where all your friends were, yep.
In reality, you're like, school's only been out 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. It was barely a month, and then we were back at the rodeo.
Yeah,
and then barely a month later, then we were back at school.
Yeah, I lived out in the middle of nowhere. There was nothing but the woods and my brother.
Yeah.
And that's
Josh
where we,
knows he ain't fun.
That's why we just ride dirt bikes, shoot guns, you know, silly stuff.
That's it, yeah.
And my parents both worked, so we were home all day. It was my job to raise him.
That's what was so funny. It's like during the summer, it'd just be us there. Like I told you, what was funny is you had the pool. We'd have to clean the pool every year for the summer. And you realize, like, his dad just got a free pool cleaning. Like, we would all get in there and scrub and clean and get everything ready to go for the summer so we could be ready to swim.
Yeah, and then when you start filling it up, you start having like kumites in there. Remember, because it was like, what's the Jean-Claude Van Damme
Cyborg.
Movie?
Cyborg.
No, not that one, where he's like fighting in a swimming pool.
Lionheart.
Yeah, we try to recreate that.
Yeah, we're fighting. You're jumping off stuff and throwing kicks at each other. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, good times.
It was great.
I miss the how less populated it was back then. Town is incredibly too packed.
I miss being able to fall down in 2 foot of water and not hurt.
No kidding, right?
Right? Like, man, I remember what it was like. Gosh. Yeah, now your big 5-0 just had a birthday.
That's right, yeah.
You're in the zero club now, Mr. 50. How's that feel?
Man, it feels terrible.
You look terrible.
I'd feel terrible. Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
Where did the 50 years go?
That we started the show in our 30s? How crazy is that?
Yeah, I know.
Now you're 50. Man, so old.
It is old.
He's got his Metamucil sitting over there.
Speaking of that, after this, I need a nap. It's going to be hard for all the scary stories you told me, but I need a nap.
That's right, for sure. Let's take one. Folks, thank you all so much.
Yeah, thank you for everything, man. It's such an enjoyment of my week every week to
every
get
time.
Together and do this
Heck
and share
yeah.
these. And then when we go up to these public events, we meet people and stuff, and we get to hear your stories. It's very, very cool. We're very lucky and thankful for everybody that keeps it all possible.
So much fun with you guys.
Everybody has a good week. Till next time. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.